We are so thankful to be able to come back to you with the second part of our lesson, My Lord Delayeth His Coming. And we want to get right back into Matthew chapter 24. And I want you to notice something right off the bat, as they say. When you look at the faithful and wise servant in verse 45, he doesn't make a judgment about his master. He doesn't say anything about the Lord one way or another. But what he does says more about the Lord than if he were to say something just verbally, just make a statement about him. What does he say about the Lord? I love him. He is my master, and I'm going to keep on doing what he gave me to do. And he says, the last two words of verse 46 is where we left off. He said, that he cometh, he shall find him so doing. So the faithful servant is the one who is doing that which his master told him to. You asked God for a definition of himself. I am that I am. In other words, God's being is that which defines him. Just being glorious and holy and in himself. That's what you find in verse 45 of Matthew 24. The wise and faithful servant, he's just, he's just doing that which God told him to do, doing that which he is, being that which he is. I have told I don't know how many people over the 50 years of my ministry, the greatest thing you can do is be yourself. Now, if yourself is redeemed, regenerated, child of God, what else can you be that's greater than that? That's the greatest thing in all the universe. It's greater than angels. They don't know anything about redemption. But you being a child, a redeemed child of God, the best thing for you to do is just be yourself, not quenching the Holy Spirit, not grieving the Holy Spirit, being obedient in the things of the Lord, doing that which God prompts and leads you to do. So he is just doing. He is just so doing in verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. But the other servant, the evil servant, he's got a mouth on him, and he's going to talk about what he sees, and he's going to look at his master and try to define him. But he defines his master according to his own limitations. The faithful servant, you say, what's he doing? He's just doing what the Lord told him to. What's he saying? He's only saying those things that I'm sure that had to do with what he had to do. But he doesn't say anything about what he said. But when you come down to verse number 46 of Matthew 24, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, here's what's going on in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. What is he doing? Criticizing his Lord and Master. And he is bringing forth his attitude and explanation of what God is doing. Dear soul, we must interpret ourselves from God and not interpret God from us. You can't say, my Lord delayeth his coming, unless you're an evil servant. So he's trying to define the Lord according to his own self. What he was doing was he was beginning to slip, beginning to understand, I'm tired of this. These people are not worthy of it. They're just servants. Here's a little maid, you know. Here's a stable boy. Here's the one who cleans and washes the dishes. And I'm just not going to serve them no more. But he's got to justify himself. Now, an old preacher told me one time, and I found out it's true. He said, all people believe in justification. And I looked at him, and because he knew what I was thinking. He said, but it's just who does the justifying. And I said, yeah, that's right. And I found out this. When people get ready to walk away from the church, when people get ready to walk away from a ministry, they will turn around and smack you real hard and make sure that everybody understands that it's your fault. So they always have to justify themselves in what they're wanting to do. They had already wanted to do it before. They just hadn't been able to do it without getting blamed for it. So they want to blame somebody. They turn around and blame the preacher or the church or somebody else. My Lord delayeth his coming. This guy blamed God. He said, he should have been here by now. If he's not here, according to my timetable, then he's delaying his coming. And I read you over there in Peter where it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's not delaying anything. He's long-suffering to us, knowing that long-suffering leadeth us to repentance. Have you got a young person that you're praying for? Granddaughter, grandson, son, daughter, nephew, niece, whatever. What do you pray? Lord, I pray that you would bring them to a knowledge of the truth. And Lord, whatever it takes, you're asking God to delay his coming until they can get saved. But that's not a delay. That's long-suffering. That's what Peter called it. The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any of usward should be deceived, but we should all come to repentance. So here's this man saying, "It's time's up. God should have come by now." So it's not me that has got a wrong attitude about God, and I tell you what I'm going to do. I ain't serving these people no more. I'm going to go in the boss's office. I'm going to put my feet up on his desk. I'm going to make eat, drink, and be merry and take care of myself. And if anybody don't like it, I'll beat him. That's what the Bible said. He shall begin to smite his fellow servants. That's the attitude, or should I say the result of the attitude that comes from this evil servant. If you first of all will destroy and tear down the mind of God concerning his second coming, then you can just go do what you want to. Why? You've made sure that your conscience does not bother you anymore. He said, my Lord delayeth his coming. And it's his fault. He should have been here by now. Well, I've run out of patience with these people. And it said he shall begin to smite his fellow servants. He shall begin to eat and drink with the drunkard. He throws himself all kind of banquets, all kind of parties. He throws himself all kind of feasts. He takes anything he wants to from his master, what to eat, what to drink, overindulgence, and he just completely forgets anybody else but himself. So guess what this is going to do? Verse number 50. While this evil servant is smiting, eating, and drinking, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. That morning will dawn. That day will come. But then that will be that specific hour of that particular day. He's not aware of it. And as they say, it caught him red-handed. Give him enough rope and he'll hang himself. He was in the midst of all of this ungodly attitude. He didn't even look like a servant anymore. He was full of wine. His eyes were red. His belly was fat. He was indulgent in everything for himself. Didn't care about nothing. The place didn't look like it should have. Didn't look like it did when the Lord left it. People were not being taken care of. The servants were depressed and did not look like anything like they did when they was under the master's care. They just wasn't healthy looking. And he said, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And there's a comma right there. In verse 51 of Matthew 24 says, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. You want your portion? Okay, I'll give it to you. You deserve to go to hell. That's where you're going. And shall appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Too late to weep now, old buddy. You should have been steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And wouldn't it be awful for you to give up and give over in the day that will have the hour when the Lord would come? Made it all the way to a day, maybe the day, that would bring forth the hour that the Lord would come. And he caught you casting off his yoke and refusing to be his servant to those that were servants in the household. That's a shame. Now, what is the great deterrent for this? Would you look in Genesis chapter 4? The book of Genesis chapter 4. It makes a very unbelievable statement in Genesis chapter 4. And verse number 16. The Bible says something that it seems like it's impossible. And it is. Then why does it say it? Well, let's see if we can look at it first. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now, you can't go out from the presence of the Lord. Literally, physically speaking, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the utmost wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost seat, you'll beat me there and be waiting on me when I get there. There is no place where God is not. The only reason why a place is a place is because God is there. So it says Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. How is that possible? He went out from God consciousness. He did what this servant did. He shut the Lord out of his mind. He said, I'm not going to go by your rules anymore. I am not your servant. I won't do what you say. And besides, it's my Lord that delayed his coming. Would you go back up two verses in Genesis chapter 4? He said, the Bible said in verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Go back up to verse number 14. This is Cain talking. In verse 13, Cain said unto the Lord. And in verse 14 it says, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. You see, when somebody gets ready to go out from the presence of the Lord, when somebody gets ready to quit doing what God has had them to do, when somebody gets tired of Jesus, tired of rules and regulations, tired of God's order, they're going to find somebody to blame. The evil servant in Matthew 24 blamed the Lord. My Lord delayeth his coming. It's his fault. Cain blamed the Lord. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, Genesis 4:16. But Genesis 4:14, God, you're the one that drove me out. And dear soul, that's one of the things that's going to put them in hell fire. That's one of the things going to make them weep and gnash their teeth, is knowing that they committed the unforgivable sin of accusing God of their sin and blaming it on God. My, my, my. What then are we saying here if you can't go out from the presence of the Lord literally? What does this mean? Well, as I've already said, it means to cease having a God consciousness. I don't ask the Lord anymore, should I do this or should I do that? I'm the captain of my fate. I'm the ruler of my soul. I will say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. That's going out from the presence of the Lord. That's ceasing to believe the very fundamentals of the faith, in believing that there is one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord and Father of us all, and refusing to believe that you have any responsibility towards him whatsoever. That's what's going on in our nation. All across the board. I heard it in the barbershop this past week. I'm not going to do this, that, and the other. They're going to make me what to do. I'll do what I want. I'm doing fine. It's going on in the halls of Congress. It's going on in the halls of government. It's going on in every aspect of our nation. People are casting off the yoke of Christ. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because he is the utmost superior servant. God elected Christ as his servant. And he says that, mine elect servant, in the book of Isaiah. And as he elected him servant, he elected us in him, Ephesians 1:3. And so we are the servant's servant. He is the servant of all. He's the king's servant. He serves the Father, and we serve the Son. That's the way it is, by the Holy Spirit. So these people that want to cast off the yoke, God said he laughed at them and hold them in derision that they can't really cast off the yoke. You can't not serve God one way or another. Even, listen, the wrath of man shall praise him. The remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. I believe that Psalm, if you want numbers, Psalm 76:10. You better look it up. But anyhow, it's true. The wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. You can do nothing against the truth, the Lord said, but for the truth. I don't care how wicked and ungodly and evil you try to be and want to tear up everything and destroy the preacher's reputation and split the church and do everything you can. You won't do anything but accept prosper God's will. You will be held accountable for doing that, but you can't do anything against God, for he is Lord God Almighty. So we see that they had wicked hands that crucified and slayed the Lord of glory. But, dear soul, it was by those wicked hands that we received our redemption and God received his satisfaction, because it was predestinated and authorized beforehand that it be done by the predestinating hand of God. They have with wicked hands crucified and slain the Lord of glory. Which one was it? Both of them. God's predestinating plan and their wicked hands. God didn't ordain that they be wicked. God does not tempt any man. God did not form the devil. He formed an angel who found wickedness in his own heart by saying, I will be like the Most High God. Bam. That's when all the lights went out. Now you got the devil. Well, is that going to mess God up? You can't mess God up. He is absolutely, positively, and I know you're probably tired of hearing this word, but it's the most glorious word I can bring forth. He is absolute, positively sovereign over all things. What does that mean? It means he does what he wants, with whom he wants, when he wants, for the purpose that he wants. And nobody can say it's wrong, because he acts from a position of absolute wisdom and absolute glory. So we find that whatever it is that comes forth, both of these servants, the wise servant and the wicked servant, they both come forth and they accomplish God's will. But dear soul, in failing to do what God says and in trying to interrogate God, my Lord delayeth his coming, you do great detriment to your own soul. But being faithful, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58, you become that wise servant who says, God says to him, come and take over my whole household and enter into the joys of your Lord. So how did Cain go out from the presence of the Lord? He didn't cross the boundary lines of this county or that state or this country or that country. It wasn't that he went physically, traveled, transversed from one point to another. It was that within his heart of hearts, he determined, it's God's fault. My punishment is greater than I can bear. You did that. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. And it says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. So he went on, and you read the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, you will see a lot of the same names that it was in the godly line of Seth. So he was just saying, I'm doing good. It's fine. We're doing all right. But it was because he had a dead conscience. And he was separated from the mind and purposes of God and wasn't involved in the glory of God as far as prospering the cause of redemption and righteousness on the earth anymore. Now, that's the negative side of going out from the presence of the Lord. That's failing to have God consciousness in your life. Let's go to Genesis 39. The book of Genesis, chapter 39. And we begin reading with verse number 7. Genesis 39:7. This is Joseph who is ruling over all of Potiphar's house. Everything Potiphar has, and he's a high man, a captain of the guard in Egypt. Great, important position. And Joseph is in charge of his house. Verse 7, Genesis 39. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, Joseph's master's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. Stinking woman. She wanted what she couldn't have. And because Joseph was a servant, she wanted him to serve her and serve her a lust. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in this house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Listen, I can't do that. I can't let down on what I'm supposed to do. I'm to take care of all of his servants. He doesn't even know what all I got in my hand and all I do. That's how important my job is, and I can't quit doing that. And then in verse number 9, listen, here's the difference between Cain going out from the presence of the Lord, that is casting off of God consciousness, and here is Joseph who refuses to cast it off. Verse number 9 of Genesis 39, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. You're the only thing I can't touch and I won't, because thou art his wife. Now listen at this. This shows you the heart of Joseph. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's the difference. Cain said, I ain't sinning against God. God's the one did this. The wicked servant said, My master delayeth his coming. I can do what I want. He should have been back by now. Don't look like he's coming back, and I guess he wants me to have all this and rule it like I've been doing. So I'm going to do what I want. But there was a different attitude in the wise and faithful servant and in Joseph. And Joseph's question reveals a God consciousness. Now, I want you to understand this. Jacob and Joseph's mother did not know where he was. None of the brothers in the family of Joseph knew where he was. He had been sold into slavery, and those that he had been sold to had then turned around and sold him to the Egyptians. They ain't no way to find out where he is. And the point is that there was nobody that knew him. He could do anything he wanted to. And that's what people do when they get away from home. They act like they want to. One thing that amazed me about World War II was that the Japanese were so given to respect and bowing to the elders, you know, showing great respect to people, very careful about how they dealt with one another, until you put a rifle in their hand and send them away from home. Then they were vicious and mean and cruel and unkind. Dear soul, you need to be careful. Don't ever in your consciousness go out from the presence of the Lord. We have what they call spring break. All that is a license for college kids and high school kids just go turn loose all of their lust and all their appetites and do whatever they want because mom and daddy ain't here no more. Same thing. Dear, listen, Christian, you say, I've been in this for a long time. I've been in religion a long time. I'm getting tired of it. You must not know the Lord. Because how can you quit on somebody that won't quit on you? How is it that you can do this thing and sin against God? That's what Joseph said. That was the difference between him and Cain. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and said, Lord, you did it. You sent me out from thee. And Joseph said, I'm here by the hand of God. I know the Lord's with me. My daddy ain't with me, but my father is. And he said, I've got an awareness of God that's still in my heart. It doesn't make a difference where I'm home or not home. How can I sin against God? He got in big trouble because of this, but he also got into big reward. She grabbed his coat as he ran out the door trying to get away from him, and she used that coat and showed Potiphar when he came home and said, look what that Egyptian did, your servant. He tried to force himself on me, and here's his coat to prove that he was in here, and I had to fight him off. Put him in jail, stayed there for years. But that's where God wanted him in order to bring him in the presence of Pharaoh. Put a butler and a baker in there with him. And it was through their relationships with Pharaoh that he came to be brought before Pharaoh and for them to know and understand what a glorious spirit of God he had among him, within him. So God consciousness, don't lose it. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's what the scripture said. This do in remembrance of me, the Master has said. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Well, it seems like everything that I do in the name of the Lord gets me in trouble. It did the Lord Jesus. But dear soul, it's not what they do to us. It's what we are to do with Him, the Lord God. Don't go out from the presence of God in your mind like Cain did. Maintain a God consciousness like Joseph did, and always do what's right. It's always right to do what's right. God will sustain you in that. He will not leave you without His ability imparted to you for you to live righteously before Almighty God. My Lord delayeth His coming. It's God's fault. I'm not going to do this anymore. Romans chapter 1, verse number 21. Listen to this. This is really, really pointed, and it's really solemn. Because that when the human race knew God, they glorified Him not as God. That's where it all went wrong. If you know God and you truly know Him in redemptive grace, you will bring Him honor and glory and respect. But if you cast off God and say, it's His fault, Cain said, the Lord drove me out from the face of the earth. The wicked servant said, my Lord delayeth His coming. Blame it on God. Got to get out of it, but you just can't get out of it without justifying yourself somehow or other. All men believe in justification. The only problem is, who is it that does the justifying? And it's them. They do it themselves. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. Dear soul, I have tried my best to start thanking God for everything. Whether it tastes good, feels good, or seems good or not, thank God for it. Because I'm just a little peanut earthly creature made out of dirt. How do I know what the wisdom of God has for me in bringing forth that which to me seemed offensive? To me, it seemed harmful. But there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not permit you to be tempted above that you're able, but will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And we also know that all things, not just all good things or all things that seem good, all things work together for them that love the Lord, to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Wait and see how it works out. So I have tried to learn to be thankful in all things, because the first step in apostasy is unthankfulness. There were 10 lepers that got healed by Jesus. That's 10, yeah. 10 lepers that got healed by Jesus. 9 of them didn't come back and thank him, didn't turn around and thank him. 1 did. Jesus said, did we not heal 10 lepers? Why is it that only this stranger has returned to give thanks? Since he says stranger, he must have been a Gentile. Dear soul, listen, we need to offer God thanks for everything. Thank God for what health you do have. Thank God for clean hot water to take a shower in. Thank God for the food that you get. Thank God for what all things that you have, but especially for the redemption by the Holy Lamb's blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, that took away the sin of your world. In everything, give thanks. He said, don't rejoice because you're able to cast out demons, but rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You don't have anything that's so bad that it can't be superseded by the awareness that when everything is over with, when everybody is in eternity, you stand there in redemptive grace and in redemptive glory. How thankful are you going to be for that? Multitudes in the valley of decision, multitudes falling off into the abyss of hell, multitudes having to go in with the devil and his angels, but not you. Are you thankful for that? Well, then everything that leads up to that has been that which preceded that, that caused that to come forth. And we ought to in everything give thanks. And it says, neither were they thankful. How do you glorify God? By giving him thanks. I can't ascribe to God or give to God more glory than he already has. But I can ascribe to God the glory that's already his. So I glorify God by being thankful. Listen. But became vain in their imagination. It automatically follows. If you don't glorify God and you become unthankful, next thing that happens, vain imaginations. The Bible said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. The reason there are so many ungodly, vain imaginations in this world, and the men doing such, when I say men, I'm talking about the human race, doing such crazy things, is because they don't glorify God to start with. They have lost their God consciousness. Professing themselves, listen, but became main in their imagination, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Uh-oh. Now that which is given to you for you to contemplate and consider and discern and determine things is now darkened. There's nothing else you can do now. if that which is to guide and direct you is now darkened, all your directions will be dark and will be evil. Where did it start? I lost my God consciousness. I went out from the presence of the Lord. Jesus' parents couldn't find him for 2 days looking for him. Where did they find him? Right where they left him, in the temple. What about you? Where did you leave God? That's where you're going to find him. What were you doing when you left him? Do you have opportunity to come back? Can you cry, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by"? Do you have a desire to know God, to be with God, to be recovered? Do you have a desire to leave the hog pens and come back to the Father's house to be but a hired servant? Maybe you have opportunity if you have a desire, and then you come back to where you left him. You got to start right back where you left him. Be a servant to honor and glorify God and do what he says because you love him. Period. It says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There's so much of that goes on. People try to show you how wise they are, and you stand there and look at it, and you say, "That's the dumbest thing I ever saw." Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Listen, verse 23 of Romans 1. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Verse 28 of Romans 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind void of judgment. Isn't that something? My goodness, to do those things which are not convenient. And we have got that spread across our globe today, doing those things that are not convenient. It's unreal. People murdering other people in the streets. People attacking people on airplanes just because they wore a mask and the other didn't. What reason is that to tear into a human being? We're in a mess, folks. We need to get back to God. You say, "Well, I can't straighten out this whole nation." You can straighten out yourself. If everybody would straighten out themselves, we'd be in a whole lot better shape, don't you think? Listen, my Lord delayeth his coming. Well, I tried that church stuff, and that preacher, and that deacon, and these people, and that. Okay, blame everybody but yourself. My Lord delayeth his coming. Or you could just do what the wise and faithful steward did. He just kept on doing what God told him to do. And when the Lord came back, he found him so doing. Isn't that something? My soul. God is precious. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Went right past it. Got to go back to it. There you go. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. They just going on like, you know, that what they're doing is what they're supposed to do. Beating their fellow servants, using up all the Lord's goods to eat, drink, and be merry. Just walking in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That's what will happen to you. You will become alienated from the life of God if you begin to do what everybody else is doing. Well, that's what they did. And as my mother used to ask us kids when we were little, if they told you to stick your head in the fire, would you do that? You think, that's stupid. No. This old, you can't be swayed by public opinion. You're going to have to do what God told you to do to be a wise and faithful steward. And you're not going to do what God told you to do if you don't believe that you have to give an account to him and that he could come at any day or hour of his own choice. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. It's not a delay, because God's time is not like my time. His 1,000 years is not like mine. That's just one day with him. And it's not a delay. It's the long-suffering of God waiting so that all of his elect should come to repentance. That's what he's doing. So now you understand and know this verse. Took me years to understand this verse. What is it? In your patience, possess ye your souls. What do you mean? If you think the Lord is delaying, it's not that the Lord is delaying, it's that you don't have patience to wait like he does. So what that comes down to say is, if you would possess your soul in a patient waiting upon God, and in a steadfast doing of what God told you to do, I don't care how old you are, how far you've gone, it doesn't matter how many miles you put on that new car or how many times you have wore out the seat of your britches doing what God told you to do, keep on keeping on. Do what God told you to do. Do you know when it's time for you to be able to stop being a servant? The day after you take your last breath. It is only God who can relieve us from servitude. But then he places us into the glory of servitude. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He begins to promote Joseph in his obedience to his servitude and in his awareness of God, his God consciousness. He doesn't do like Cain and cast off the yoke. He said, I'm not going to do what's wrong and blame it on God. I'm going to do what's right and trust in the Lord. And God did, and God promoted him. And I wonder what happened to Miss Potiphar. Do you ever wonder that? She lied on him and said, the man raped me, and he didn't. Got cast into prison, left him in jail for years, and she was just doing fine. Nobody could say that what she had accused him of wasn't right. Well, he's in prison. She's Potiphar's wife. He's the captain of the guard. You better not say nothing against her. But wait a minute. What about that day that he appeared before Pharaoh and Pharaoh put a chain around his neck and put a ring on his finger and said that's the state seal. When he puts that on in wax to seal up something, it's like I did it. And what happened next time Miss Pharaoh run into Joseph down at the market? I wonder how she felt. That day is coming. Be sure your sin will find you out. This old walk with God in redemptive obedience, your sins covered by the blood of the Lamb of God, never to be brought up again. It doesn't matter. God is going to see to it that you are not brought to shame. Because you are a servant of the Most High God. This is what happens with or without God consciousness. So the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I come as a thief in the night. You don't want God. By the way, turn to Revelation 3. Let me show you that. The book of the Revelation, chapter 3, and verse number 3. Revelation 3 and verse 3. Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which may remain, which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. I've had my automobile broke into, I've had my office broke into, and I've had my home broke into. There wasn't a single time that I knew that they were going to do it. Every time it was over with, I said, man, I wish I'd have been here. Too late. Can't do it. That's how thieves get by with it. They come, and I thought, man, I hated this happened. They stole a lot of things that me and my family really enjoyed. But you know what? It didn't kill us or destroy us. We got over it. And I remember the day when we came over here to this church and didn't have any air conditioning. I ain't talking about didn't have any air conditioning. I'm talking about had any air conditioners. They broke through the front fence and came back here in the back of this church, wrapped a chain around the air conditioners, jerked them off of the concrete platform that they were on, and hauled them off and sold them for what they could get out of the copper and so forth. And you know what? I said, Lord, I hope that those thieves can find repentance and redemption and that they can get along with those things as good as I and the church can get along without them. That's been years ago. I'm sure that the value of those things have already been used up, sold or pawned or whatever they did with them, and that money's gone. But the richness that I have of knowing how to bring you this message, do you have any idea how thankful I am to be able to stand here and bring you this message and to help you with your soul and to assist you and to be a helper of your joy? Oh, dear soul, I would give 100 air conditioners for you. I would give hundreds of things to do without and be stole that I might be able to be developed and learn how to take my eyes off the world and to turn them towards Jesus and to learn to walk in the faith and to help you with those things and to give you those things that have been proven by the Holy Spirit in my daily walk. I'm not giving you theory. I'm telling you what God has shown me by experience. What a joy it is to be able to share these things with you. Revelation 16. And verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Two times the Lord said, I'm going to come like a thief. And the devil is God's thief. He knows how the devil acts. So he's going to appropriate the action of the devil in as far as being a thief. It's not going to be sin. He's not going to appropriate the ability to sin, but he's going to appropriate the demeanor of the thief. Surprise! Coming in the night, in a day and an hour when you know not. And dear soul, be assured of one thing. Nobody is assured of that day and hour. In an hour when ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He said, we are not of the night or of the darkness. He said, let me read it to you because I'll mess it up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me get back to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You know perfectly. So, if I had known, here we go, that they were going to break into my home, if I had known they were going to break into my car, if I had known they were going to steal these air conditioners, and if I had known when they were going to do it, I would have been prepared for them. But you don't know. And that's the whole thing. The Lord let me have those thieves turn loose on me in order to teach me that when the Lord comes as a thief, he's a whole lot better at being able to come when you don't realize it than they are. We did a lot of things after they had stole from us, and it's kind of like shutting the barn door after the horses already got out. But dear soul, what it did to me personally, individually, and I hope to the rest of the folks that were involved, is to get myself ready for the Lord to come back and understand that the way every human feels about the second coming of the Lord, every human being, even if they don't feel anything, don't care, it will determine whether they are a wise and faithful servant or a wicked and evil servant. This one thing. Seeing these elements shall melt with fervent heat, what manner of persons ought we to be? May the Lord bless you. I thank God for the opportunity to bring you this message, and I pray that it would find its deep roots in your soul and cause you to be able to endure in this last wicked day. Pray for me as you will. Oh, one other thing I wanted to tell you. Every message that you hear brought here from this pulpit, the following week, there's a written summary of that message that you can have in printed form if you would like it. All you have to do is go to our website, GBC, Grace Baptist Church, GA, Georgia, GBCGA.com. And you can find all the printed messages or all the messages in print. If you had rather have them, you can print them off and on your computer and have them in printed form as well as here in video form. And you can go to sermonaudio.com and hear them in audio form. We're trying to make the gospel available to you and anyone that has a desire to hear it. May the Lord bless you.